For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12 this morning. Thank you, choir, and all the special music today. And thanks, Vanessa. What a blessing. Appreciate all the songs today, congregational songs, and I'm resolved no longer to linger, and all of that. That's a good Baptist song, isn't it? Amen. Amen. It's been a good start for the new year. Amen. I mean, I made it all the way through Sunday school without sitting in glitter.
Yeah. Amen.
And then I go over in the seat that I normally sit in. I believe it was done on purpose. There was a glitter bomb let off right there on that front seat. Glitter has a way of growing. It grows. It scatters. And I'm not going to accuse you girls there on the second row of that, but I don't think it was these boys. Oh, you're the glitter queen. Okay. But anyway, what was it you said, Kim? A little what for the new? Oh, a little sparkle for the new year. Yes. Now, I know Kim wouldn't do that. No. But just a little sparkle for the new year, and ruined another suit. And I mean, it'll be August, and I'll still have glitter. I'll be pulling glitter out of my pocket and having it on my fingers, on my face, and my Bible. Romans chapter 12. Let's get in the Bible here today. And you know, with the new year, I think of what Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia. He said, "I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." And I think of the opportunity of the open door. That's not really my message today, but I do think of the opportunities. When we think of a new year, we always think of opportunity. It's a great opportunity. So many opportunities that the Lord affords us and will afford us in the new year. But often, I think, instead of thinking of the opportunities, we think of the obstacles. Boy, what obstacles am I going to face this year and all of that? And or we think of the obstacles of the past year. And but I think of what Paul said in Philippians 3. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The prize is not necessarily heaven, although we've attained that prize by faith in Christ. But it's more than just the prize. It's more than just heaven. It's the blessings of God and the glory of God and the presence of God, the joy of God, all of that. And I think we miss the outcome that God wants to bring. You know, we see the opportunity, the open doors. That's pretty easy. But sometimes we concentrate and settle down into the obstacles, and we forget the outcome that God wants to do. God has something in mind out there for us, and He wants to see us through. And God is real. If He wasn't real, we couldn't do that. And so focus on the open door. Focus on the outcome and not the obstacles in the new year. Let's make our prayer. Then we'll get right into Romans chapter 12. And as we pray, there are many that are ill today. And keep praying for Pam McBrayer. And remember James Hicks with leukemia in Charleston Memorial Hospital, and Brother Bigley's father. Father, I pray that You'd help these that are hurting today. God, touch them, help them, encourage them. Save those that need You, maybe. Lord, I pray that, God, You'd encourage them and help them in their physical problems and do a work in their heart. May a merry heart help them like a medicine, do them good. Help us this year, Lord, as a church, to have greater vision. Help us to see those open doors. And Lord, of course, notice the closed doors and not try to press through the closed doors. Help us to be led of the Spirit. Help us to be filled with the Spirit, controlled and empowered. May we have Your unction in this new year. Thank You, Lord, for a new year. And thank You for a clean calendar, opportunities everywhere. Help us to see that. Help us to seize upon all of that. For your sake and for your glory, help us to strive together for this gospel's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 12, and I want to read one verse, verse 12, where Paul the Apostle says this. He said, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Notice three phrases there. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I love the book of Romans. I mean, it's a treatise on the righteousness of God, which comes only through faith in the finished work of Jesus. I love the book of Romans. And the book of Romans, I think if there are two books in the Bible you should know well, it ought to be the book of Romans and it ought to be the book of Genesis. The book of Romans, the book of Genesis. I think we ought to know them all well, but those are two books that we certainly ought to know. And as Paul wrote the book of Romans under the inspiration, of course, and guided by the Holy Spirit of God, he penned these words. And he said in verse 1, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Look at it with me in verse 1. "That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He said it's the least you can do. Is present yourselves. And may we in this new year present ourselves anew and afresh to God. And he said in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." Don't let the world push you into their mold. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God does have a perfect will for you. Now, certainly we know this. We know it's God's will for you to be saved. Amen. I know that. Now, I don't know the will of God for you after you get saved, but I do know this. If you're here today, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to know that you know that you're going to heaven. He wants you to know that. I think of what Paul's saying here, and he says this, God wants to transform you. He wants to transform you. I think of Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when it says he was transfigured before them. And it's where we get from that Greek word metamorphia or something like that. I'm not a scholar there, but metamorphio, it means to change from the inside out. And that's how we are transformed from the inside out. Salvation is not a work from the outside, it's a work from the inside out. It begins with God. Salvation begins, it's not a plan of salvation, it's a person of salvation. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in a denomination, but it's in Jesus. And so Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." He said, in light of all that I've written in chapters 1 through 11, I want to beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, a lot of people talk about dying for God. Would I be willing to die for the Lord? I believe the greater question in 2023 is this. Are you willing to live for the Lord? I mean, why should we talk about dying for Him if we're not willing to live for Him? He said, "I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you that you live for God and that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy." A lot of times we argue about standards and all of that kind of thing. Listen, if we would just get a hold of this thing, we want to please God and be holy as He is holy. I believe that'll solve any questions. It'll solve any debate about that. That we just want to please God. And He says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be a transformed." Let me give you three transforming words in chapter 12. Three transforming words. It'll transform your year. You say, "Man, I better write that down." Three transforming years. I mean, it'll change your life. Praise God. Tom Price gave me two gift cards to McDonald's, and I am feeling festive today. You talk about changing your life. Man, that is five cups of senior coffee right there. Five cups of senior coffee. It'll change your life, man. And I presume this other one's for Cindy. She'll never see it. And So friend, that's 10 cups. That's 10 cups. Let me say, if you know someone as a manager at McDonald's and they don't give the senior discount, we need to talk about that here in the new year. Somebody say amen right there. That used to offend me, but not anymore. It'll change your life. Let me give you three words that'll change your life. By the way, thanks, Tom. If you have any of those left over, I'll take the extra. I'll make sure they get spread around, you know. And he said, I beg you. I think that was Paul's main thrust. When he was knocked down on the road to Damascus there in the book of Acts, his life was changed forever. He never got over that. If they would say, Paul, tell us about this hope that lies in you, he was happy to do it. He was always happy to give an answer. We talked about in Sunday school, could you give a Bible reason for you going to heaven? Can you give a Bible reason? And we talked about evidences of salvation. But how can we have a transforming year in 2023? How can we have a transformed year? We have a transformed year when we have a transformed heart. I love our theme from 2022. Strengthen thy brethren. Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22, he said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. When you get back to where you should be, strengthen thy brethren. And what a year it's been of strengthening the brethren. I've not done a very good job at that, but I want to. I want to strengthen the brethren. I want to encourage the brethren. I think of Barnabas in the Bible, that son of consolation. He was known for strengthening the brethren. We talked about Paul and Barnabas and their split in Sunday school today. And let me just teach you that. the lesson was better than the message today. Let's just go back to the lesson. No, but they had John Mark and Barnabas had Paul and Barnabas had a split, a division, a disagreement over John Mark, his nephew. And Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas on to the missionary journeys. And we hear more about Paul and Silas, not so much about Barnabas and John Mark. Now, I don't know what happened there, but I'll tell you this. Barnabas, I think, continued to be an encourager. You know why? Because John Mark was still around when Paul said, get John Mark and write him, bring him. He was profitable unto me for the ministry. He is profitable. And John Mark wrote the gospel that bears his name. I believe that Barnabas continued to encourage and continued to pour himself into others. I believe that he continued to disciple and bring along this young man named John Mark because he didn't quit. We don't hear much about Barnabas, but we sure do about Mark. It's not about our name being in the lights. It's not about our name being on something. And Barnabas steps off the pages of the Word of God, but John Mark didn't. Neither did Paul, neither did Silas. All of us have someone that we can help transform, not into what we think they ought to be, but help them to find what God wants them to be. Here in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 through 8, we see Paul writes about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, he said in verse 6, he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. And he lists some of the spiritual gifts there. We touched on that a couple of weeks ago. But it said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. So he mentions spiritual gifts. That'll transform us. Then he mentions spiritual goals. Spiritual goals. That'll transform us. In verses 9 through 15, he talks about spiritual goals. We talked about strengthening the brethren, preached a lot about that last year. And how can we strengthen the brethren? Well, he gives some spiritual goals, how we can strengthen the brethren. Let me just touch on that one more time about strengthening thy brethren. How can we strengthen thy brethren? What are some goals that we ought to have? Look at verse 9 of Romans 12. Let love be without dissimulation. He said, don't be hypocritical in your love. He said, abhor that or hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. He said, let love be real. He said, love without being a hypocrite and hate without being hateful. That's hard to do, isn't it? But God wouldn't list it there if he didn't give us the opportunity and the ways to do it. So he talks about spiritual goals. He said, love the brethren. He said, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In other words, he said, put yourself in second place. Look in verse 11, not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Strengthen the brethren. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. Look at verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. He talks about chasing hospitality. He's talking about friendship and helping others. We just came through the Christmas season. Man, I hope we still have that spirit of giving. Thanks, Tom, for the coffee cart. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. These are ways that you and I can strengthen the brethren. He lists a whole list of things there that we can do. So he talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about spiritual goals. He talks about spiritual grace. He said in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, what's the key to that verse? Look in verse 18. If it be possible, but as much as lieth in you. That's where most of us jump off the wagon, isn't it? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So he says spiritual grace. God gives us grace. Then he gives us spiritual gain. Look in verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As I was praying about a theme for the new year, it seemed like every verse I read, man, that's good. Let's make that one. Next week we'll share what the theme is. Transformed. All of these things would transform us. But let me give you three phrases that will transform your year. Look at verse 12. First of all, he says, rejoicing in hope. If anybody ought to be hopeful people, it ought to be God's people. We ought to be hopeful people. Full of hope. Full of hope. Hope is finding fresh cause for optimism. That's what hope is. Finding fresh cause for optimism. When I think of January 1st, I think a lot of folks think about the winter that's coming and all of that. And I told somebody out there a while ago, I thought, man, what a difference between last Sunday and this Sunday. I'll take today, you know. But finding a fresh cause. Hope is finding fresh cause for optimism. If anybody, it ought to be hopeful people, it ought to be God's people. Rejoicing in hope. In other words, full of hope. I think of Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be heirs together according to the hope of eternal life. When the Bible lists hope, it doesn't mean a chance hope. It means an earnest expectation. You and I have an expectation that what God says he would do, he will do. And then he says over in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why should we have hope? Because we have a risen Savior. Why should we have hope? Because God answers prayer. Why should we have hope? Because we've got a Bible that's inspired and preserved of God. Why should we have hope? Because of Jesus who overcame death and hell and the grave. And we trust Him. Why should we have hope? Because He ever lives to make intercession for me and you. Why should we have hope? Because He is our intercessor. Because He is our advocate, our go-between. And the Bible says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's more than a lawyer. He's an advocate. Rejoicing in hope. Full of hope. Full of hope. People need hope today. Folks are hanging on to things that are not hopeful. They're hopeless. Life with Christ is an endless hope, but without Him, it's a hopeless end. People need hope. People are looking for hope. Let's give it to them. They're looking for hope. People need direction as to where hope can be found. Wouldn't it be great if people could think of Ripley Baptist Temple and your home church as a place where they can find hope? There's hope. Hope. From Genesis to Revelation, we find hope. I think of an acronym I wrote down yesterday as we were driving in. Actually, I didn't write it, but I gave it to my stenographer, my scribe next to me. But I think of hope. Those who hope, I think, keep heaven, first of all, heaven in view. H, heaven. We keep heaven in view. That's why Jesus said to Peter, let not your heart be troubled. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Three times you'll deny me. Before the cock crow, three times you'll deny me. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I believe those that hope and those that are transformed by hope, they have a heavenly mindset. You've heard that saying, he's so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly good. I heard that one time. I thought, boy, that sounds good. I said that, used to say that a lot, Brother Leedy, and that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You can't be too heavenly minded. Because if you are heavenly minded, you'll do some earthly good. How could you be too heavenly minded? God help us to be heavenly minded and keep heaven in view. And it will give us a fresh cause for optimism. Now, I know the world's gone crazy, and it's going to get crazier this year. But I want you to know heaven is in view. Heaven, we can call upon heaven. We can get heaven's resources. We can get heaven's Redeemer. We can get heaven's rejoicing in our heart if we have a mind to do that. Patience, rejoicing in hope. And then secondly, notice opportunity. Opportunity. I think of opportunity and how opportunity meets optimism because of the omniscience of God. I think of opportunity. God set before us an open door, yes. But it's because we have an omnipotent God. He's all powerful. We have an omnipresent God. He's everywhere present. We have another great attribute, which I can't think of right now. He's everywhere present. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And because of that, we have an opportunity. And I think of P. I think of the person of Christ. The person of Christ. You can't have hope without the person of Christ. You can't rejoice in hope without rejoicing in the peace that Christ brings. That passes all understanding, would keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then I think of E, I think of eternity in view. If our mind is upon heaven and we're thinking about an opportunity and not an obstacle, we're thinking about the omniscience and the omnipotence and the omnipresence of God, and our mind is upon Christ, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, then we'll live with eternity in view. If we live that way, I believe we'll rejoice in hope. Because we realize this world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels and the saints of God beckon us from heaven's open door. We shouldn't feel at home in this world anymore. Patience. Look in verse 12. A transforming word. Hope. Full of hope. Rejoicing in hope. You say, preacher, I don't have hope that we'll have world peace this year. Or I just don't hope that the stock market's going to turn around. Well, we can have hope. I don't have hope that the Mountaineers will win 7 games this year. I don't either. But my hope's not in that. That's not my mindset. I just gave up on that. You know, it's good when you take that burden and just throw it over here and just say, secondly, notice this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. You know, the thing is, tribulation is going to come. We know in the new year there'll be challenges, there'll be tribulation, there'll be problems. And Paul said this. He said, if you want to be transformed, he said, keep your hope in God and be patient in tribulation. In tribulation. In other words, that word patient means to settle down in the midst of tribulation. He's saying, don't get too excited in the midst of the tribulation. When the hard times come and the valleys come, he said, just settle down. Persevere. Be settled. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Use the old West Virginia term, hunker down in the midst of the tribulation. What did God say to Moses when he stood with his back to the Red Sea? He said, stand still. Stand still. Be patient in tribulation. What did God say? He said, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that maketh not ashamed. God is doing a work in us in this year. If you want to be transformed, then rejoice in hope. Keep your hope in God. Keep your hope in heaven. But just be patient in tribulation. It may be that just settling down in it, God may do a greater work than running from it. Certainly we don't run for it, run to it. I think of Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. The Bible says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. When the tribulation comes, and it will, I promise you, there'll be tribulation. Some of you have had great tribulation the last year. You say, preacher, it's hard for me to be hopeful. God's faithful. Just be patient in tribulation. God is doing a work. We think about the eternality of God. We think about God is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. God is working. God is and if we'll be patient in the midst of the tribulation. In verse 14, he says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Don't curse others. Don't curse God. Don't curse the day that you live. I think of Job's wife who said, Job, just curse God and die. She was a blessing, wasn't she? But it says patient. Patient in tribulation. If we'll learn to do that. You say, hard times are coming. Yeah, but good times are coming too. Burdens are going to come. Yes, but blessings are right behind them. I mean, we have to think about this. God's grace is sufficient for whatever hour, whatever trial, for every trial, for every mile. God's grace is sufficient. And we don't know what 2023 holds. It could be the year that we'll hear the trumpet sound, the shout, and we'll be caught up together. Wouldn't that be good? He says, patient in tribulation. Job sat in the ash heap, scraping his boils. And I think one of the greatest things his three friends, so-called friends, did, he called them miserable comforters, but when they came and they sat down with him in the ash heap and said nothing, they were just being patient in tribulation. We don't always have to have an answer. I found that to be true as a pastor. I don't have all the answers, but God does. And God's not always giving all the answers right away. But if we'll just be there, and if we'll keep praying and be a presence and be a comfort and be patient and help people through their tribulation. Listen, people are all over this congregation today are going through hard times, going through tribulations. I mean, I don't know what it is you're going through, but if you'll be patient in it, to know that God knows where you are and that God is at work. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But thirdly, look in verse 12. Words that transform, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. And then he says this, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing. Continuing. I think those three words really connect: rejoicing and hope. Hope looks to the future. Hope looks toward heaven. Patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. We all know it's been a difficult 3 years since COVID and all of that. I told someone the other day, I said, I've had more shots in the last 2 years than I've had in 30 years, and I've been sicker than I've ever been. I'm sure glad I got those shots, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I mean, two bouts with COVID, flu, ugliness. I mean, I've just had everything, man. But you know what? What we've learned is this: to be patient in tribulation. Not time to quit. It's time to continue. I mean, it may be that we have another round of it with China fighting this thing. I don't know what they're doing, but it seems like it. I mean, who knows? But we've got to continue. We've got to keep living. God didn't disconnect. He didn't disconnect the Great Commission and say, now during this time of pandemic, y'all just hole up over there, you know. No. He says, go with the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize those converts. He says, stay at it, be everlastingly at it, continuing instant. The word instant means urgent. It means to be insistent, to be persistent, to be earnest. Be instant in prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Every great movement of God began with a kneeling Christian. D.L. Moody said that. Every great movement of God. We prayed for revival during the pandemic. It didn't come. There were pockets of great things that happened. But I pray that you've been strengthened through that. I mean, it may be a financial downturn. It may be a sickness, an illness. It may be the loss of a loved one. We never lose those that go to heaven. It may be a divorce. I don't know what you've been through. You say, preacher, I'm struggling. These three words will make a difference. There's hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. If you live with heaven in view and realize there's an omniscient God and the person of Christ is risen and He's real, and if we live with eternity in mind, He makes the difference. Patient in tribulation. Patient. Continuing instant in prayer. You say, preacher, I don't even know what to pray for. I believe this. I believe if you're filled with the Spirit, filled with hope, and seeking God, He'll let you know what to pray for. There are times the book of Hebrews says He takes that which we, our groanings that we can't even form into an understandable sentence, and He takes those groanings before God and forms them into prayer. You say, preacher, I don't even know what to say to God. Spend time with Him. Don't harden your heart. The worst thing in the world to do is harden your heart. But keep hoping. Be patient. Continue in prayer. And if we'll do those three things, I think it'll transform us, and I think all these other things will fall in place. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. We just came through Christmas. God gave us the most precious, powerful gift that He could have ever given, His Son. We gave gifts out and all of that. But here's the thing. Here on January 1, why don't we make a presentation of ourselves to God? Why don't we say, God, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. If it's not holy, ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Not mistakes, but sin. Come to God. Call it what it is. Don't blame others. Admit to God and accept your guilt and say, God, I've sinned. This is what I've done. It's wrong and I repent of it. You'll never be happy till you do that if you're a saved child of God. Instant in prayer. A transforming year.